Hi, I'm Liz Larson.
And I'm Bill McKenna. We're the hosts of the New Life Perspectives radio show.
We're also the creators of the Cogno Movement System, where we help you rewire your nervous system so you can rewire your reality.
Join us each week for great conversations, amazing guests, and cutting-edge information on health, consciousness, and the keys to transformation.
Have you ever had to ghost someone, go no contact, cut someone off? Well, if you have, you know that that is a really hard thing to do. And at first, it may feel amazing, like you're free. But then something else sets in that is far less comfortable. And going no contact can be a huge journey, even though there is that freeing element in the beginning. So I know this may feel a little bit like whiplash for people because last week we talked about aliens. And today we're talking about going no contact. And we keep being told you need to stick to one topic to really make the algorithms work. But from our perspective, Bill's and mine, it all is one topic. It's how your nervous system perceives the world. And your nervous system itself is what perceives reality, how you take in information in every way possible, and how you react. Your nervous system determines how you react. So the meaning of anything at all, how something tastes, what something looks like, how it feels, how you feel about it is literally an interpretation of your amygdala first, your fight or flight system, and then the rest of the body based on past experiences. So going no contact is no different than that. It is a perception of your amygdala first, your nervous system, and then the opinions of all of your other experiences in life. So for all of us, how we experience having to cut someone out of our life, even for just a short period of time, is perceived completely differently by each person. So it's interesting because the older generation hears going no contact. And what they think is, no judgment to anyone, but blue-haired crazies cutting people off because you don't like your family's political opinion. Now, that is a real thing. That happened. It's not just blue-haired crazies. It was everybody in 2020, or 2021 and 2022, fighting about politics and the COVID situation and everything that went with it, and literally hacking people out of their lives because they didn't agree. And each side really seeing that as going to war, that if you do not accept my opinion about this, which I believe are facts, you are not worthy to be a part of my life. In fact, you might be evil. This was a huge reaction in the United States. I don't really know if this happened in other countries because I haven't heard that, but in the US, there was this massive reaction. Everybody's body went into fight or flight, and it was perceived as a kind of a war. And for some people, that continues. And within that, you did have very politically polarized people acting in extreme ways around this in the no contact zone. But that really isn't what going no contact is. Even going no contact is a more modern way to say that, but having to remove yourself from a person that has been a big part of your life has been going on forever and ever. You know, people used to have to escape their family, literally run away from them, you know, going no contact in a very extreme way, but leaving town, leaving the country, you know, leaving your religion, leaving, you know, your community, leaving everything behind to not have contact with someone who is hurting you or you perceive is hurting you. So this is nothing new. I think what is new is that it's shared publicly. We're talking about it online. If I go no contact, I might likely post about that online and out whoever I'm going no contact with. I may not mention their name, but I may talk about my whole no contact journey on Facebook or Instagram for everyone to see, right? So there's a bit of an extreme that can happen now. But on the other side, for each human having to make this decision, it's very private. It's very personal. And what else is very private and personal is the pain that goes with it. And I think this is the piece that no one is talking about the pain behind that, about the other emotions that follow. It's interesting because it does tend to follow the pathway of grief, you know, the stages of grief that happen. When you go no contact, there is the shock that happens, surprise. You know, there may even be a denial that you have any feelings about it, right? You know, there's anger. And then down the list too, where what you hope you would get to is acceptance about it. But actually many of us never do. So today I just want to explore this idea of how can we recognize what we're going through the emotion, through the feeling, through the opinion of the amygdala, our limbic system, our nervous system, and what can we do to feel better? I just want to say that going no contact, there's no judgment about that, really, because it is so personal. There's so many reasons. It's never 100% the right decision or 100% the wrong decision. Only you can really judge what that is. And another truth is that even if you do repair the relationship, there's always this rift. There's always this pain in the body of maybe not being heard, maybe not being seen, maybe not being accepted for who you are. So it really does go so much deeper than that original decision. So let's talk a little bit about that. Is it the right decision? Is it the wrong decision? And how is your nervous system playing a role in that? In 2020, when we were all fighting about COVID and politics, the part of the body that was making that decision was a hardline fight or flight. Yes, that was the part of the body deciding, but it was also influenced by our society, who we were around, down the line of political party. And then the next level was straight down the line of, am I likely to follow medicine, science, or am I likely to take a more independent, neutral, or natural approach? So in that case, it had to do with far more than our own decision, but also peer pressure. Are you still talking to your family member who voted for Trump? Are you still talking to your family member who refuses to get a shot? So lots and lots of peer pressure. And then some people disassociated because they were feeling pressured by other people to do something, right? So it's not just our own decision. In that case, it was everyone else's decision along with it, peer pressure. So kind of interesting, the external processes, the external forces that can be a part of our decision to go no contact. Have you ever been in a relationship, you know, a romantic relationship with the rest of your family did not approve of? And they're whispering in your ear all the time or yelling about how this is not the right person for you. And then you have to break up with that person, a form of going no contact. We don't think about that, but it's true because of the forces, the external forces So it's not really your decision. That's one form of going no contact, when the external forces really are making the decision for you, or at least applying enough pressure that they have an influence on you. Another going no contact is gradual. This is one that I've experienced a lot in my life. The recognition that a relationship, a friendship is not really working for me, not great for me, but I don't want to blow it up. I don't want to, you know, have a big fight. I don't want to have it out. I don't want to even call the other person wrong. I just am not feeling comfortable participating in that relationship anymore. So another way of going no contact is slowly being less and less and less available until maybe months go by and you haven't talked. And then you recognize that it's years. That's another version of leaving a relationship, but without blowing it up, without a confrontation. So there is no line in the sand. There is no final conversation about why we're not going to be friends anymore. There's just this slow backing away. And there's the other kind of going no contact in which something radical happens, you know, an abuse situation, a fight, you know, something that's said to you that's so outrageous that you can't accept it anymore. So there's this hard line, a stopping of that situation that in the moment feels very, very necessary for your survival. This is another one of those going no contact situations where your nervous system and all your previous experiences play a part. It's the crowd that makes the decision for you, that tells you this is no longer safe for me in a very physical way. Even if it's just emotional, not physical, you know, abuse or mistreatment, the body sees it the same way. And there's this, I have to run, get out of the way of this lion that is really this relationship. And those can be so abrupt. That kind of a going no contact often has a rebound effect where there's a lot of guilt, a lot of second guessing, because there wasn't necessarily a lead up to it. There wasn't the part, the logical mind that got involved and thought it through first. It's kind of a knee-jerk survival mode. Let's talk about what the body does in each of these situations and what we can do about it. Like I said, it's kind of the stages. There are these stages that the body and mind go through. And with each one, it's the perception of that amygdala, that part of the brain that decides if we are in mortal danger or not, not really our logical mind. The logical mind might get involved later after the pain and the fear has subsided some, but it's that part that says, literally, we've got a lion. And that's how we see the situation. We can't hear anything else. We can't see anything else. We can't perceive anything else. And we certainly can't decipher anything else other than the fight or flight, the thing that gets you moving to make the decision that you feel in that moment you need to make. So when we come back from our first little break here, we'll talk about what those stages are, how to recognize them, and really what to do about it. So stand by. Let's hear from the good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong? I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So we're talking about this idea of going no contact, and that when you make that decision, whether it's fading away, you know, having a big fight and getting out, you know, the need because there's some kind of event that happens, then your body starts to go through a journey. And that journey doesn't just magically disappear. It's part of the physical process that happens within your body. So if you're out there and you know exactly what this feels like, reach out and let us know. Hey, I hear you, and I have had to do this myself. Tell us your story. But you'll notice that, like, you finally get through that conversation, that hard conversation that's like, hey, I'm not doing this anymore. This is my boundary. I've been trying to hold on to this relationship for years, maybe, and I've decided that I'm out. And so there's this feeling of empowerment, you know, a rush, a surge of adrenaline, the running away from the lion part. But then maybe you spend the next 3 days wondering, should I have done that? Was I too harsh? Then there's that piece of, when your phone lights up, is it them? Are they messaging you to say, I'm sorry? Are they messaging to fight with you some more? Are they going to hurt your feelings? Are they going to answer your prayers, right? So the heart starts racing. You know, the breath gets shorter. And before you even pick up the phone and read that message, your entire body tenses up. There's that fight or flight piece, right? That part of the body that is like, hey, there's a possibility of a lion here, right? So it's never just finished when you make the decision or have that conversation. You spend a period of time after in some excitement, some grief, some anticipation, right? And then it can often shift into anger. Maybe there was anger in the first place. That would make sense that you made this decision. But what emerges under the anticipation, those days of watching for the phone to light up, can be a deeper kind of anger and resentment. It can also be sadness and guilt, grief, and maybe even fear. And maybe all on the same day, or you cycle through them through the week. But there's no question that after going no contact, there starts to be this emotional upheaval. And it's not just emotional. I may have made an upheaval in your whole life. You may have had to move. You may have had to quit your job. You know, you may not be able to hang out with the group of friends you hung out with, you know. Oftentimes, where there's a divorce, there's going no contact, and you lose, you know, families, whole friend groups. So it's important to recognize that these other emotions move up under that are, you know, anger, guilt, sadness, fear, shame, even can move up in there, being ashamed of having to make this call, of what people might think about you for making that call, you know, what people might say about you for having to go no contact. So we want to recognize the part of our body that is handling these things. These things are handled by still that amygdala part, but now all of the evidence we've had in our life, all of the experiences that we've had that have taught our nervous system the meaning of why are they not calling me back? Why are they not begging me to come back? Why have they not changed their mind? Why have they not changed their behavior? Why are they not choosing me over their opinion or over another human? So everything we've ever experienced informs our nervous system about what keeps us safe and alive, what is so painful that it might end our life. And we start to learn these things from the time before we're born in utero. Actually, the nervous system starts to grow, the amygdala is first, our reptilian brain, we call it. And then the rest of the body forms around it. And all of these sensory organs in our body start to develop so that we can move, so that we can think, so that we can feel. And all of that stores memories from the first time someone hurt our feelings to, you know, the first time somebody, you know, kicked you or punched you or stuck their tongue out at you, to the first time that you felt ashamed of yourself, the first time you felt proud of yourself. All of these memories are stored in the body. And it's very, very important because we need a reference point for whether or not something is really a lion or not. So when you're past that point of making a decision and the adrenaline's over and these other feelings start to come up, you may find that they're quite familiar. And the feeling of why does this always happen to me might show up. You know, why do people always leave me? Why does nobody understand me? Why do I never get chosen? All of those sorts of things, feelings come up, even though the situation you're in may be unique, maybe the first time you've ever had that happen, the body will add up all of the other things that feel the same. Now, feel the same is the important word here. There is a feeling state that's very familiar that goes with these things we call emotion, anger, sadness, guilt, grief, fear, shame. And the body will remember what those are and then start to put pictures in your head, thoughts of, oh yeah, this is important. It's true that everyone leaves me because I have all this evidence. It's true that no one understands me because I have all this evidence. And the evidence, unfortunately, is a bit of a lie because it's not evidence that adds up to the same thing you're experiencing now. It's just the way that the body wants to perceive it to try to keep you safe. Here's another aspect. When you go no contact, when you fade away from a relationship, it can feel like that person or that group of people is still trying to control your life, even though they're not in it anymore. So follow me on this one, because you've probably experienced this yourself. Anytime you see a post about them, their name is mentioned, there's that feeling again of like, they're doing that just to get back at me. You will say, I guarantee that action, that one photo is about me. Even though it may have nothing to do with you, your brain is going to say, that is about me. That is a threat. Their silence might also feel like a threat. You know, as time goes on and they don't reach out and they don't say anything to you and they don't talk about you and you don't hear about them through friends, that can also feel in a way like a manipulation. It can feel like it's controlling your life because you're constantly reaching out with your mind, with your feeling, with your mood to what's happening with them. And in many ways, it is still controlling your life. So the going no contact didn't really get them out of your life. In this case, it has them, you know, living rent free in your head in a much greater way. You may find that even the words that they're not saying are affecting you. The words that they do say, if it's somebody you've cut off in your life, but they're still around, everything that you hear about them through an acquaintance is going to feel like it's about you and it's against you. Even though logically and rationally, if you weren't in fight or flight around this, if your nervous system was not having an opinion that this is life or death, you would know that probably they're not focused on you every minute of every day. But in this state where everything feels like it's on fire in your body, you are convinced that every move they make is about you. And therefore, it is still seriously controlling you. Even one minor interaction can steal an entire day. The other thing is a memory of a conversation can steal a week or a month from you. It starts to become exhausting. Now, there's a real reason, a real physiological reason that it is so exhausting. And it's that your system, that limbic system again, is sending all of its energy, fight this fight, to fight what is often now an invisible threat to your system, to your livelihood, to your life. And so it becomes hypervigilant. And it's actually your energy. It's the same energy you would use to run a marathon. You know, that amygdala sends energy to your adrenal glands to get adrenaline going so that you can run, you can fight, you can hide, you can get bigger than, you can get smaller than, you know, you can fawn, you can freeze, but it's action. It needs you to be in action mode to fight this problem. So that's where that anxiety comes from. You know, the body is literally sending energy for a war that you're not having. You're not having a fist fight. You're not running a marathon. You're not, you know, getting as big or as small as you can. Most of the time you're sitting in front of a computer, let's be honest, or looking at your phone, but the energy is being spent. That's the most important thing to understand. And it's absolutely physically exhausting. In fact, this is a time when people's adrenals get exhausted. Your adrenals sit on top of your kidney. They're a small organ, but they are responsible for so much of our hormone setup. Adrenaline, actually testosterone for women, cortisol, all of those things. It affects your digestion. You know, the body will, when it's in fight or flight, it doesn't digest because the energy is not going there. The energy is going to fight, right? So you don't digest, you don't heal. You can't really think because you're not in your frontal lobes. You're not in your prefrontal cortex. You're really in that reptilian brain and it drives all of your decisions. Have you ever gone no contact, broke up with somebody, and then made a really, really bad decision? So I always say when I'm working with people, coaching people who are going through divorce, do not make any rash decisions. Run every decision by someone in your life who's really cool-headed because you're a little crazy in those 2 years because you're not in your front prefrontal cortex. You're not in your frontal lobes. You are in your amygdala and every decision is based on fight or flight. I've heard so many people talk about the regrets they have and the crazy things they did during the 2 years after a divorce, decisions they made. You know, some people become hugely promiscuous. Some people, a lot of people ruin their finances after a divorce. You know, you say things, you become things. And then after that 2 year period, for most people, things start to even out. Either the body gets too exhausted and has to reset and go into healing mode, or the excitement of it sort of fades away. So it's a really important thing during this time to recognize where all of this is coming from, that there's a physiological mechanism after you leave a relationship that can actually have a much larger impact on you. It doesn't mean it's still not the right decision. It just means that awareness that it's not over when you go no contact, because your body goes into a very specific fight or flight mode. When you're aware of it, you can prepare for it and you can do something about it. In our work with Bill and I with Cogno Movement, the something you can do about it is start to get control of that amygdala, that reptilian brain, that nervous system on fire. What can be done about it is that you can work that nervous system. You can bring it out of the amygdala into the frontal lobes. So out of fight or flight into my logical mind, and actually mechanically shift that nervous system out of fight or flight. And in fact, we recommend doing that long before you go no contact. Because even that energy of moving into no contact is usually driven by a fight or flight mode, which means you're not thinking as clearly as you could be. You're not seeing all the perspectives that there might be to have. And that you could utilize to make your life better. We have seen people using just our Essentials program, the Cogno Movement Essentials program, that gives you the foundation for how to use our work. It gives you the instructions and the visual reference for how to actually change your nervous system in real time. It's mini sessions that we provide. We've seen people use this and have no need to go no contact, radically change the relationship in, you know, literally 20 minutes, seeing it from a whole new perspective that allows you to make different decisions, that allows the pressure to come off you and off the other person. It's not always that way. Sometimes it allows a person to go ahead and go no contact, but in a way that doesn't put them into fight or flight. So they don't have this rebound period that can often be life ruining. So let's hear from the good folks at the UK Health Radio Network. And when we come back, we'll dig in just a little bit more about what happens if you get what you want from going no contact and the relationship starts to repair. Are you still out of danger?
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
All right, we're back and we're talking about the going no contact, breaking up with someone, you know, cutting someone out of your life, ghosting them, and the rebound effect that can have a big impact on a person's life that is unexpected for many people and also very, very damaging to themselves. And this idea that we can be aware of it in advance and we can work it through our nervous system all the way through all the stages in as little as 20 minutes and come up with a new way to handle things, change the relationship, change yourself. But more than anything, you're changing the way that reptilian part of your brain, that automatic part of your brain wants to take over and handle this, brings it back to your frontal lobes, your logical conscious mind to make decisions in a calm and more neutral way. That way you don't run the risk of spending 2 years making crazy decisions. You don't run the risk of saying things you don't intend to say. You don't run the risk of damaging your finances or your health because you make a rash decision. There's another side of this though, and it's when you sort of get what you want and the going no contact, it sort of seems to change the relationship. You know, I need you to do X, and so the person agrees to do it and the relationship sort of comes back together. There's something even unexpected beneath this too. There's still this heavy feeling a lot of times of when is this going to happen again? And I still don't trust. So we see this a lot of times in relationships where maybe there's been a betrayal, someone cheated, someone lied, and the relationship comes back together, maybe for the sake of religion, maybe for the sake of children, maybe because you just feel like that's what's right and it's what you want, but the body's still not buying it. You're still a little bit in fight or flight. And you'll start to see these behaviors come up under it where you're looking for the problem to happen again. That's after the honeymoon period. There's usually this big relief, right? You know, we're not fighting anymore. We're acting like we're happy again. But underneath of that, there's a constant anticipation of when this is going to happen again. And this again, it is the limbic part of the brain. It's that automation that wants to keep you safe. So what it does is it opens something called your reticular activating system. It's a part of the brain that allows what you see, what you hear, what you notice about the world. And what it does is it gets you hyper-focused on noticing that problem sneaking back in again. Hyper-awareness, what are they doing? What are they saying? What does that mean? It's unexpected because it comes after this honeymoon period of we've worked it out. You agree with me. You love me. You've recognized me. You're willing to change for me. But the system still doesn't trust it. In some cases, that's probably a good thing. But in a lot of other cases, when there's a real desire to make things work, a real desire to change things on both sides, what can ruin it is the injured party's literal amygdala looking for the problem to happen again, looking for where survival will be questioned, right? Where there's an issue of you being hurt again. So then these emotions will come up again. Anxiety, you know, the body getting ready to run, remember? Sadness, exhaustion. That's a big one. That's those adrenals again. Anger, confusion, grief. The stages of grief can still happen even when you get what you want. And even hopelessness. Like, I worked it out. I got what I want, but I still don't feel good. That word feel is very, very important here because it is the feeling that that amygdala part of the brain, I know I keep harping about it, but it's that automated part of the brain sends a feeling to your body that says something is not right. So many of us feel it in our gut or in our heart, in that chest and the torso area. But for some people, it turns into other things. For some people, within 18 months of a betrayal, for example, you will see that they're much more likely to have cancer show up in their lives. Why? Because the body is not doing its maintenance work. It's not clearing up cells that need to be cleared up because it's in hypervigilance about the betrayal. Even if things look good, even if things have been repaired, the body is still secretly underneath in fight or flight. And so it's not doing its repair work. It's not doing its healing work. And during that time, something like cancer has the ability to take hold and run rampant throughout a body. So it's not just emotional. It is very, well, emotions are physical, but it's very physiological. So the awareness of it makes a lot of sense to do something about it if you can. For us, it's cognitive movement because that is what we do. We bring the limbic system in line. We let it see itself. Is this really a lion? Is this really life or death? It brings it out of that part of your body and into your logical mind so that you can start to really rationally make decisions. It also brings it to a place of neutral. So the body is no longer making all those neurochemicals, the hormones that are often very acidic, actually, too, really hurting the body and its functions. We really want to be able to get out ahead of that and make sure that that doesn't start to destroy our health, our physiological health in the long run, not to mention the emotional health and mental health, and then our livelihood, you know, that goes along with that. So being aware of, even though my going no contact got me what I wanted, is a change in the behavior of other people, my body still doesn't necessarily believe it. And what you'll find is if that goes unchecked, the relationship really won't work out long-term. You know, the fighting will start back up again. The resentment will start back up. And you will find that eventually the relationship crumbles anyway. But it doesn't have to. It really doesn't have to. Even in the biggest betrayals, if both bodies are taken out of the fight or flight situation and put into a more neutral state where they can really work together, they can really see each other, feel each other, talk to each other. The reason we can't talk to each other, the reason we get in these situations in the first place, is the fault of that amygdala. It puts us into fight or flight. And then we're just not in our right brain. Have you ever heard people say you're not in your right brain? Why do they say it? Because the right brain generally has the ability to calm down. It has the ability to think creatively. It doesn't hold things in such a hard line. The left brain does. We'll get locked in our left hemisphere and in a certain positionality on something, and the right brain doesn't get a chance to take over. That's another thing that the cognitive movement system does, is it's constantly allowing the brain to shift hemispheres. So it's not just pulling you out of fight or flight. It's really gaining the ability to shift hemispheres, gaining the ability to use your whole brain and not just the part that wants to kick someone's butt. That's the part we get stuck in. But we do want to be in our right brain some, and we want to be in our left brain some. We want to be able to calm down, but we want to be able to think literally and rationally. We need all of ourselves to make these big decisions. There's another piece of this as well that has to do with a rejection. And we're kind of going backwards a little bit for this one. And it's that I cut you off and then you didn't change. And that piece of feeling like I made this heroic effort to show you what you're doing wrong and you still haven't changed. You still haven't chose me. You know, maybe the people just go on about their life like you never left, which is incredibly, incredibly painful and speaks to rejection. And again, it's not just this rejection. It's every rejection you've ever had in your life will show up under this. This pain in that people didn't choose you. They didn't accept you. They didn't want you, even though you showed them the error of their ways. This one can end up in very deep despair for people. And it's the one that people will call trauma. It's the one that digs its nails in and stays in your life forever. And it is that being ejected from the tribe, which is for us in the past, for humans in the past, was our definite way to die. Our survival is definitely at risk when we are the one ejected from the tribe, when we're the odd man out, because our biology is set up to be tribal and to be safe within the tribe. So that's another one of these that is so important to address and change the experience of that nervous system so that you're not in a long-term fight or flight and this doesn't become the biggest trauma in your life. So with all that being said, where do we want to go? We want to get to a place where you can laugh again, no matter what you have decided to do, no matter how it falls out. You want to get back to the version of you that is not embroiled in this need to go no contact, not constantly thinking about it, not constantly trying to recover from the last interaction. The real goal is to become you with your inner peace, with your clarity. If you leave a relationship, to be able to leave it with your head held high, feeling great about the decision, wishing the other person well, allowing them to exist on the planet and allowing you to exist on the planet, you know, in your own way. The idea is to get your equilibrium back, because this going no contact definitely can put someone off their equilibrium. It's about bringing back your energy, bringing back your joy, being able to live in the world okay with whatever your decision has been. So again, our version of this is using the Cogno Movement Essentials Plan. Learning how to not only maintain your nervous system, but how to fluff it, how to get it upgraded, how to put it in the best state for you to have the very best life. Get out of the ultimate authority and control of your limbic system and into the part of your brain, your mind, your body that actually can make decisions just from a place of power, not from a place of fear. So we've run out of time for this episode. Thanks so much for being here with us. And until next time, be safe and be well. Reach out if you want to know more about going no contact, info@cognomovement.com.
Thanks for being here with us on the New Life Perspective Radio Show. For more information or to find out more about the work that Bill and I do, please visit us at cognomovement.com or email us at info@cognomovement.com. See you again soon.